welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Living here is too, but if they say that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home, going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look and see that homesick feeling in my eyes, I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. Sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. When I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing. I'm headed home. I'm going home where I belong. One day I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door. I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore, 'cause I'll be home. I'll be home where I belong.
Welcome, friends, as we gather together this evening to mourn the passing of our brother Bill Rowland, but to also celebrate the life he led, the man he was, and the memories that he's left behind. I'm your host, James Edwards, and for the next 3 hours, we'll be presenting to you a special tribute show in honor of a hero whose legacy will live on forever in the hearts and minds of those of us who loved him and fought by his side. As many of you perhaps know by now, Bill's valiant battle against cancer came to an end on Monday morning. As I wrote on the website earlier this week, it's a loss that's absolutely devastating to me. In addition to being one of my very best friends in life, Bill was largely responsible for the development and cultivation of the Political Cesspool radio program from its very inception. Everyone knows he co-hosted with me on a regular basis, but he was always my right hand behind the scenes. I talked to him at length every week for nearly 10 years and rarely made a decision, and never made an important one, without seeking first his wisdom and counsel. Whatever value I might have is due in large part to Bill's advice and friendship. His impact on me personally and on the radio program specifically over the course of the past decade cannot be overstated. He was a compatriot, a mentor, an incredible role model. Those of you who didn't know him as well as I did were robbed of a tremendous blessing. Those of you who knew him well can understand that what I'm saying here barely scratches the surface of his true value as a man. He represented the very best of what anyone could aspire to be, as a leader, as a husband, as a father. That he be taken from us at 54 years of age is a loss from which we will never recover. But rather than lament his passing, we will thank God for the time that he allowed a man like Bill to be a part of our lives. I miss my friend more than I can possibly articulate. and rededicate my service, such as it is, from this point forward in his memory. Sam Dixon, a mutual friend of Bill and I, he was in Memphis this week for the services, and he really summed Bill up with a few choice adjectives. He said that Bill was one of the finest men he ever knew, truly noble, sound, intelligent, tactful, polite, and brave. Sam continued on to say that Bill was one of the rare few who had something to lose but were still willing to step up to the plate for our people, as well as one of the even rarer and fewer who did so while being an all-American family man with a lovely wife and two wonderful children. I mentioned that Bill Rowland played such a huge role in the success that this show has sustained over the course of the years since 2004. When this show first began to be attacked, it was Bill who told me how to successfully navigate the media gauntlet. He was the one who not only, he didn't tell me how to respond, he offered his opinion, and it was always the right one. If it was not for Bill's fingerprints behind the scenes during the early years of this show, when we were first beginning to make a name for ourselves, we would have never survived it. I remember the first time I was on national television on CNN. They had flew me up to New York to appear on an hour-long special, and I knew in advance I was being cast to be the bad guy there. But I can recall being in my hotel room in Central Park about 2 hours before they sent a car to take me to the studio that night. And I remember talking to Bill. I remember after the show, I was walking around in Times Square, and I talked to Bill. I called him just before I went on and right after I went on. And if I ever said anything that made sense on television, it was due to the brainstorming sessions that Bill and I would always have, some of the biggest interviews we've ever had. You know, it was Bill's idea to get Mel Gibson's father on, Hutton Gibson. He said, you know, I remember I was driving back from Texas. I'd made an appearance in Texas, and I was driving back, and we were talking about some of the things we wanted to do with the show in the coming weeks. And he said, you know, you need to try to reach out to Hutton Gibson and see if he would come on. I think that would be a pretty big interview. Well, because of Bill's advice there, I invited Hutton Gibson on, and not only did he appear, the political cesspool ended up getting publicity as a result of that appearance in over 250 newspapers and magazines around the world. There was a skit on, as a result of that interview, that was performed on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And you hear Bill Rowland's voice asking a question of Hutton Gibson. They pulled a clip from the radio program to use on that television skit, that late night comedy skit, and it was Bill's voice that they took. It was his question. Bill and I can recall, were sitting in the Peabody Hotel, the South's Grand Hotel in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, when a reporter from the New York Times had been dispatched. I believe that was right before the presidential election of 2008. And he came down here, and that was another experience we shared. I mean, who would have thought we would have built a show that would be attracting the gaze of reporters from the likes of the New York Times, and then that reporter was there, and Bill and I interviewed with him. That and so much more, folks. We're going to be celebrating the life of this man. Stay tuned. You're really in for a treat this evening. Please understand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program special three-hour tribute in honor and in loving memory of our fallen brother, Bill Rowland. During tonight's tribute show, we will be talking with a multitude of Bill's friends and family, including all of the current staff of the radio program itself. Keith Alexander is in the radio station with me now, and as you can see, Keith, we have a candle lit here in the studio, which is representative of the eternal flame that is Bill's work and deeds on this earth. Keith, as you begin to share with the audience your personal reflections of Bill, what was it like to serve with him in the struggle and to also be a close friend of his behind the scenes?
Let me tell you, one of the things about Bill was that he was always concerned more with advancing the cause of racial awareness and truth and paleoconservative values than he was about capturing the limelight for himself. I remember early on when Bill came to me and we both decided we were going to mentor James Edwards. We wanted to make sure he didn't turn into a Sean Hannity or even worse, a Ben Ferguson, who you'd have to be a Memphian to know about Ben Ferguson. He's a so-called talk show conservative host that is basically a shill for the neocons. I don't think there is really very much danger of that happening, but we kind of guided James's reading and introduced him to new authors, new topics. We always tried to keep things fresh, and we wanted to make sure he had the full length and breadth of paleoconservative thought. He knew what to say on foreign policy matters, on trade and economic matters, as well as on domestic relation of race in the United States type issues. And we also made him aware of Jewish power and influence. So you can thank Bill primarily for making sure, tending to the education of James Edwards and making him what he is today. Now, I also remember very closely a couple of incidents. I remember meeting with the reporter that was sent here by the Die Zeit newspaper in Germany. He made a trip from Germany to Memphis specifically to talk to us. And I'm sure he thought he was going to get some type of juicy tidbit about neo-Nazis / Klansmen in America, but he didn't get anything of the sort. First of all, we went to a well-known local breakfast place. We were very convivial, very gentlemanly, and had a good conversation with us. Then we took him to Confederate Park in downtown Memphis. And he had asked about the item that is prominently featured on our webpage and also in the Wikipedia article about the political cesspool. When we drove off the barbarians, so to speak, that wanted to rename the parks back in around 2008. And we wanted to show him where that was. Well, he brought out a couple of typical chestnuts that he thought we would have to agree to, such as America is a proposition nation. And Bill and I chimed up at the same time and said, no, America is a blood and soil nation just like any other. There is no such thing anywhere as a propositional nation except in the imagination of some liberal. And we told him that neoconservatives weren't conservatives, they were liberals. Then we took him to see the Jefferson Davis statue and a bust of another Confederate that was prominently featured there in Confederate Park. And just at that time, without any forewarning at all, a couple of typical Southern guys, obviously not from the top dresser drawer, as Grandma used to say. In other words, people that were working class, were familiar with the smell of their own sweat, came up and tried to raise a Confederate flag in Confederate Park, which seems totally appropriate to me. And a bunch of black winos came up, cursing them, threatened them with violence, and this reporter from Die Zeit had to admit that our side was right and the other side was wrong. The other side was trying to stifle freedom of expression, and he said that there was nothing whatsoever threatening about these fellows that came up and tried to raise the Confederate flag. And he went back, shaking our hands and telling us he was glad he came. He had a new understanding of the situation. Of course, the silence was deafening from Die Zeit. There was no article about the political cesspool or his trip over here, because he apparently went back and told them the truth, and the truth wasn't at all what they were looking for. But see, Bill knew how to handle situations like that. Bill was not only a great mind and a great intellect, he was also a great heart, a man of great courage. I don't think a lot of people realize the tremendously important behind-the-scenes role he played back around the year 2000 when they were trying to take the Confederate flag, the rebel flag emblem, off of the Mississippi state flag. He went to Ole Miss, orchestrated demonstrations, nonviolent protests, to the point that the governor, the then governor of Mississippi, Ronnie Musgrove, decided that he didn't want to put his neck in the noose, so he was going to allow the people of Mississippi to have a referendum on whether or not to change their state flag. And what eventually wound up happening was the change lost by 65% to 35%, and there was even a majority of black voters in Mississippi that voted to keep the old flag that had the rebel flag insignia on it. Sam Francis wrote two articles about this. He thought it was incredible, a whiff of rebellion and freedom that the elites weren't used to. On the other hand, in Georgia, the so-called great conservative Democrat Zell Miller ramrodded through the legislature a change taking the Confederate flag off of the Georgia flag. We denounced Zell Miller later on. Bill denounced him at the time. Bill and a guy named Greg Stewart were basically the two movers and shakers that were responsible for keeping the Mississippi flag the way it is. He was an absolutely invaluable asset. He knew how to handle street demonstrations and protests. He knew what the street theater of so-called nonviolent protest was. And he knew how to manipulate the other side that thought they knew how to manipulate our side. And he always came out the winner in those situations. So he not only was a great intellect, somebody that plumbed the depths of the liberal heart, he was a liberal's worst nightmare, James. He was the intelligent, rational, polite, paleoconservative that would absolutely shoot down every argument they came up with if he were allowed to speak in a measured tone. In other words, if you had a properly moderated debate, he would win it each and every time.
Keith, that's well put, and I appreciate you bringing up those examples. I mentioned in the first segment the reporter from the New York Times, hardly the only publication of note that has covered the work of the political cesspool, work that perhaps wouldn't have even been possible were it not for Bill's contributions and guidance during the formative years of this show. We're going to take a break. Much, much more coming this evening. We're just beginning our celebration of the life of Bill Rowland. Stay tuned, everybody.
After these messages.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Yeah. We've been working hard.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program tribute show to Bill Rowland. Last segment, Keith was mentioning some of the, you really can't, Keith, in the time available to us tonight, just 3 hours of commercial radio, even begin to scratch the surface of Bill's contributions. But you were talking about the incident with DeZeit. I mentioned the New York Times earlier. You talked about an incident of his activism, even pre-cesspool days, back in 2000 with the Mississippi State flag fight. You know, Bill had been a lifelong activist, certainly long before the cesspool came into being in 2004. We were just very, very fortunate to be the beneficiaries of his primary focus of activism over the course of the last near decade. But you look back, you know, I was at the visitation this week, Keith, and at the funeral on Friday, I had the chance to, of course, visit with many of Bill's friends and relatives, most of whom I knew in advance, of course. But I was talking with Bill's brother at one point earlier in the week, and he was sharing a story with me that he was driving down the road in Arkansas and listening to National Public Radio. And all of a sudden, there on NPR, they began talking about the political cesspool. And they were specifically talking about the most recent interview that Pat Buchanan had on TPC. And Buchanan was actually on the show, and he, of course, defended the political cesspool. But the reason I bring that up is because that was just another interview that made so much news when Buchanan, his most recent appearance. I interviewed Pat. But Bill wrote the questions, and that was pretty much, it was very indicative of our relationship. I was the front man. I was the figurehead. Bill was the guy behind the scenes. Bill wrote the questions for that Buchanan interview. Anytime it was a big show, anytime there was something going on of note, I went to Bill. And we had so many good times. Above and beyond the really important times, there were so many good times, like the live broadcast at the Council of Conservative Citizens. That was Bill's idea too. Going back to 2009, we had never done a live show before, and then there we were. He came up with the idea of doing a live remote broadcast. We started it in 2009. We did it every year since then at the CFCC's annual conference, and the most recent one in 2012, which you can get in the archives back in early July, was one of the most fun times we ever had. Keith, you were there. Me, you, Bill, and Eddie Miller were all there, and it was just one of the greatest shows. Well, those live broadcasts, again, came from Bill's great mind. Joining us on the air now is Winston Smith, longtime co-host of the radio program. You know, Winston Smith, you talk about his contributions to the show. Well, it was Bill Rowland who recommended Winston Smith to me as a co-host when the original co-creator of the show, Austin Farley, left in 2005. So anyone who's ever heard Winston on the show, you can thank Bill Rowland for that, too. And you know, Winston, earlier this week, you and I were marveling at the responses left by the Political Cesspool's audience, the condolences that they left on the website in response to Bill's passing, and they were coming in from all over the world, and we're going to talk more about that later. But you mentioned to me that I should be proud about that, and I said, no, Winston, we should be proud about that. And you said, no, you should. Everybody has to have a front man. No group is successful without a dynamic front man, and you're the front man, and you know that. And even if you don't know it, I know it. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know what, maybe you're right. I am the front man. I'm to
once again invoke the name of my favorite singer and band. Maybe I'm Frankie Valli, but Bill's Bob Gaudio. Bill's the guy who wrote the music and lyrics to all the hits that the Four Seasons had. I'm the front man. Bill was the talent. And this show will never be as good again without his contributions. But Winston, thank you for being with us tonight. I know you knew Bill before you came to know him on the radio show. Y'all worshiped together at church. You were friends before you became brothers on this program. Please share with the audience your thoughts on his passing.
James, I can honestly say, I can sincerely say, it's one of the saddest things I've experienced. And it's hard for people to know what I mean by that unless they knew Bill personally for as long as we have. I've been struggling with what to say about him, and I wrote the blog entry, but it is a tremendous blow. And all of my Kenist friends on our Facebook page, we've all been grieving together, and they have left some marvelous comments. When you knew Bill Rowland, you knew an exceptional man, and he was that. He was so exceptional in so many ways. You never walked away from him without feeling better or feeling that you somehow been bettered. What can we say? We miss him so much already. The hole is there, and it's going to be for a long time. But I think James will probably agree with me. Bill would probably tell us to just get over it and get on with the show.
Well, there's no doubt he's listening tonight. And I'll tell you, Art Frith has some comments, our old producer who worked with us during the early years. He has some comments at the top of the second hour, which I think you'll really, really enjoy. As far as I'm concerned, it's the highlight of the show, and it's coming up at the top of the second hour. But this show is going to be all about Bill. And Winston, I'm glad you're on the line with me now, because you're going to be co-hosting with me for the remainder of the show. Keith is in studio with us now as well, Winston. And Keith, you know, I was thinking back on the last show that Bill hosted for me. Bill would always fill in for me when I had to be out. And I remember the last time was in early October. I was in the hospital. I went in the hospital on Friday night because my appendix had burst, and they removed my appendix. And I remember laying there in the hospital on Saturday morning, early that October. And I was hoping the doctors would let me go home in time to do the show, and they wouldn't. I ended up staying in there about 3 or 4 days because there were some complications after the surgery. And I remember calling Bill mid-afternoon on a moment's notice that Saturday and telling him I was in the hospital and could he cover the show that night. And he did, and you were there, Keith. And that was, I believe he called in one more time during the anniversary show in late October. It always seems as though the times you have with your friends and compatriots will be limitless. That Bill will never again walk in the studio is, it still hasn't fully sunken in yet. You think that there's not a number on the amount of times you'll be able to share those memories. But it was.
You have to remember, too, that when Bill did that, he had been suffering from cancer for over a year and a half. And he was getting chemotherapy on a regular basis. And anybody that even knows someone who has gone through rounds of chemotherapy and then radiation, and his radiation had begun by then, knows what that would take out of you. But somehow Bill was able to man up and soldier through a show. And I don't think anybody that listened to that show knew what he was going through and had gone through up to that point. And I like the comments you made about you being Frankie Valli and he's Bob Gaudio. Here's what I think. It's like you were Muhammad Ali, and Bill was Angelo Dundee, and I was a cut man in the corner along with Winston trying to make sure that everything ran. And it's, you know, we have decided you were going to be the celebrity of the show. But, see, Bill didn't have an ego. He wasn't worried about whether or not he got due respect or whatnot. He was interested in making sure that people like us had a voice, had somewhere to go, had someone telling the truth in a land of lies. And that's what America has, and Western Europe and Australia and New Zealand have become. They've become the land of lies, land of the big Orwellian lies. Now, when you need to also remember that before Bill was a big shot at the political cesspool, he was a big shot in the Council of Conservative Citizens. He's been a member of their board of directors as long as you can remember, all the way back to the 90s and times like that. It's and before then, even in the 80s. And he was involved in all of their initiatives. So we have a special relationship with that group because of Bill.
And we'll be back with more Keith Alexander, James Edwards, and Winston Smith as we honor Bill Rowland right after this.
If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
While we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky.
But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign.
Take the old walk into heaven. What a day, what a day, I'm rejoicing in the King. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout in the day.
All right, everybody. everybody. Welcome back. Hosts James Edwards, that's me, Keith Alexander here in studio with me, and Winston Smith calling in to the show this evening as we celebrate the life of Bill Rowland. We've been talking about the impact Bill has had both on the air and behind the scenes, part of some of our biggest interviews and the brains behind some of our biggest victories. As Bill's health began to deteriorate over the course of the last month, I felt a very real void. You know, we had Martin Luther King's niece on the show a couple of weeks ago, and my first instinct when her handlers reached out to me to set up that interview was to call Bill. What does Bill think about this? Why are they wanting to come on? How should we handle it? I never could talk to Bill about that. He was not in a position to take calls. I was able to get a hold of his wife, and she just said that he couldn't talk. You know, it was... That was the first time I'd ever been in that position because, as I said before, it was always Bill that I called, always Bill that I talked to when I needed that strong hand. The Confederate parks here in Memphis, it was Bill's mastermind that saved those parks in 2005. Even though I or the show get all the credit for it, Bill came up with the game plan, the battle plan. Well, those parks were renamed last month. I wanted to talk to Bill about that. What could we do? Is there anything we could do? What are his thoughts? Those are two major issues, and the first two in my career that I wasn't able to go to my friend and hear what he had to say about it. But we do celebrate that friend and everything that he was. Winston Smith on the line. Winston, you were a friend of his before I even knew him. You worshipped with him. Let's talk, you know, behind the scenes, Winston. Talk about going to church with Bill. Talk about the times that we all went out to dinner and those robust conversations and the hearty laughter that endured, going to the corn mazes during the, you know, the fall season with Bill, all of that stuff and how it so enriched your life.
Well, you know, as I wrote in my tribute to Bill, Bill was one man. He was one thing. And when we were at church together, he was exactly as he was when you heard him on the cesspool. He was exactly as he was when you were sitting in his dining room having a meal with him. He was exactly as he was when you were having a beer with him. He was always thinking. He was always engaging in conversation. When I heard him pray, he prayed as a man who knew he had a very intimate relationship with God. When you went out to a meal with him, his stories. Am I right that he was probably the best storyteller you could ever know? He could tell jokes for hours. His stories were hilarious, and I never heard him repeat one. At the corn mazes, he was always talking about the political cesspool. He was always talking about the issues. It was hard. To catch Bill, well, it was hard to catch him out of character. He was always in character. He was always Bill. My gosh, James, this is a hard show to do.
Well, it is. It truly is. And I'm looking here with Keith here in the radio station, Winston. You know, we have our own little studio here, and so the management, thankfully, even though we're a once a week show. We've been here for so long, we kind of got grandfathered in. We got our own room here in the building, and so I've got all of these pictures on the walls. I've got pictures that I'm looking at now and pointing to me, you, Bill, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller standing in front of a huge southern magnolia tree, a picture which we all signed. I've got a picture here that I'm pointing to of me, you, Bill, and Tom Sunich when Dr. Sunich came into town, and we went out to an orchard with him and picked fruit together. I mean, there was just all of these. And Keith, you were a part of that too. You remember Tom's visit very well. There was so many times we can recall that we spent fellowship with Bill that was apolitical, though you never really could separate Bill's politics from the man that he was. And I'm sure that's true of all of us. But, you know, as far as the Christian man that Bill was, you know, one thing that gives me comfort is that when he closed his eyes for the last time here on this earth, he opened them in the presence of our Lord. And somebody commented on the blog, Winston, and this was just really
made an impact on me. And we'll talk again more about the comments that the listeners have left for Bill in the second hour. But they said they were commenting about Bill's work on behalf of the Southern cause and his Confederate forebears. And they said, you know, he fought for Nathan Bedford Forrest and the preservation of his park here in Memphis while he was on this earth. He now knows Nathan Bedford Forrest. He has met Nathan Bedford Forrest. Think about that.
James, Stephanie is asking me to ask you. Stephanie's asking me to ask you to repeat that. She didn't catch it.
Just the very last part, I'll say that, and of course everybody knows listening that Winston is on with us tonight because of the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist. Winston has suffered the loss of his hearing, but because of the friend that Bill Rowland was, Winston is pulling out the stops to be with us tonight. Just very quickly, Winston, what I said at the tail end of that was that listeners had commented about Bill's dedication to the Southern cause and bringing up the fact that Bill fought for the preservation of Nathan Bedford Forrest Park here in Memphis, Tennessee, during one of his many battles on this earth. Well, now Bill has met Nathan Bedford Forrest. When he closed his eyes on this earth, he opened them in heaven. He saw our Lord and he met his Confederate forebears. Think about that. Let that sink in. He has met Robert E. Lee. He has hugged Stonewall Jackson.
James, there are so many comments on the blog that refer to Bill's Southern heritage and to our Southern heritage. That was one part of Bill that he carried around as a badge of honor. He's not like so many Southerners who maintain some Southernness so that they can be sorry for being Southern. But Bill was absolutely proud to be a Southerner, and he was proud to feel a kinship with those who fought during Lincoln's war. Bill was a warrior, and the blog comments, they reflect that. So many people who have commented refer to him as a soldier, you know, a warrior. One of my favorite comments said that referred to Stonewall Jackson's last words, you know, "Let us cross the river and rest in the shade of the trees." Bill was as much a Confederate as you could be. I'm surprised he didn't walk around wearing Confederate gray pretty often. But he carried his Southernness as a badge of honor. And if you were stupid enough to try to call him on it, you might as well be prepared for a very terrible 5 minutes, because he would let you know what for.
Well, you're absolutely right, Winston. This is Keith. In fact, I was thinking he was Southern and Confederate right to the very end. I even remember, you know, just very recently, he wasn't buried in one of these big corporate graveyards or cemeteries that has all the flat monuments and whatnot. He was buried in a family graveyard in rural Shelby County, in a part that is still as rural as you could ever imagine. It's like a time warp going back 50 years. And right there, that's where he was laid to rest, right where he wanted to be laid to rest. And furthermore, you know, he got this show kickstarted because of his connection with the Council of Conservative Citizens. He was very active in all of their activities and was instrumental in their success. He was an editor of their quarterly newspaper for a couple of years. And furthermore, he was very involved in the Sons of Confederate Veterans. He worked on every crisis that they had. He was kind of a crisis management guy, not only for the political cesspool, but also for the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Well, you know, see, there's a lot of overlap in these things. Sons of Confederate Veterans were involved in the Confederate Park situation in Memphis, just like the political cesspool was. In fact, he drew all these resources together. He got us involved with the Council of Conservative Citizens. And basically, if you're a Southern traditionalist paleoconservative, you've encountered his work because he basically covered the waterfront.
Winston, We have to take a break now. Keith Alexander will be leaving us at this point, but for the second and third hour, you'll be co-hosting with me as we hear from many more of Bill's friends and family over the course of the remainder of this show. So stay tuned, everybody. The Bill Roland tribute show continues on the Political Cesspool when we return right after these words.
It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen.